Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Gimel. We are 13 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph Omer Rav Nach. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanisun Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Miril Bas Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel and Le'ilui Nishmas Shmuel Ben Moshe Tzvi and Shendel Bas Menachem Mendel. So, believe it or not, we're already holding at the very, very last daf, really the last omid of Perek HaShoyel, continuing to discuss halachos related to a shoyel. Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, shoyel adam betuvay la'olam. A person can borrow something, quote unquote, betuvay, forever. So what does that even mean? So Rashi says, Imra adam kli l'chaveroi, if somebody sees his friend has a keli and he wants it, va'amar, he tells him, hashileni betuvai, will you please loan me this keli betuvai, va'amar lo'yhein, and he says, yes sir, sha'ol lo'y lo'olam, the halacha is that this sha'ol now has rights to it forever. What does that mean? As long as this keli is functional and as long as this is something you can use, this person is going to be considered a shayl. The hay betuvay is agrashi. The word betuvay, mashmalon, the way we understand it, is kolzmancha hu toiv. Meaning, will you please loan me this item? I want to use it as long as it's good. So the halach is, as long as it's good, as long as it's functional, this person will be allowed to use it. Amar Rav Mori Barad Bashmul, so Rav Mori, who was the son of Shmuel's daughter, said, the only time this is going to be true is if this person makes a kinyan. But if he doesn't make a kinyan, then he's not going to have it forever. In other words, the understanding of Betuvah is that when I borrow it, I can have it forever. Ad kedei kach, that if I return it to you, and then I say I want it back, you have to give it back to me. It's mine, as long as it's betuvay, as long as it's functional. So said Rav Mori, Barad Bashmul, that although that's true, but you would have to make a separate kinyan in order for something for that to be in effect. In other words, if somebody borrows something, so the kinyan shela that he makes at the time that he borrows it is a good kinyan, but as soon as you return it, it's not going to be yours anymore. If you want it to be yours, betuvay, you want it to be yours, la'olam, even if you return it, for that you would have to make a separate kinyan, and that was this chiddush. There is an idea of shoyel adam betuvay la'olam, which means as long as it's functional, I can use it. Ad kedei kach, even if I return it, I have a right to take it back. But for that, etzim kinyan shayla is not enough. V'hu dekani mine, you would have to make a separate kinyan. Amar Rav Mori Bered de Rav Ashi, Rav Mori Bered de Rav Ashi said, umahadr leikat, stating that, what would be if the keli breaks? So now, it's not functional anymore. At that point, you would have to take the handle, and you would have to return it. And really, there's a few chedushim in this line. Number one, you can't be toiveya, the mashal, to fix it for you. Not just that, if you want to fix it on your own, you wouldn't be able to do it. The point is that betuvay means as long as the keli is functional. But once the keli is not functional anymore, at that point the betuvay expires. Therefore, the shayla is over. If you have the handle, you have to return the handle. And if you wanted to somehow take it back again from the mashal, it's not something you would be allowed to do. There's a little bit of a chiddush here. The chiddush is that you said that you're going to use it as long as it's functional. And that was the agreement. You could argue that if the handle is still functional, maybe we view the keli as still being functional. So the Rishonim say that's an added chiddush over here. That being that the kate, the handle of this keli in and of itself is not the entirety of the keli. It's only part of it. It's only the yad. It's only the handle. Betuvay means when the entire keli is functional. If the entire keli is not functional at that point, this she'ela is going to expire. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Hayman da'amad le'chavrei." If somebody goes over to his friend and he says, "Oishlin mara lemirfak bei haypardesa," will you please lend me a mara? So that's some farming tool. And the reason I want it is because I want to work with it in this pardesa, the following pardes. Rafik bei hahu pardesa. So the halach is he's allowed to use it for that pardesa. You can't use it for anything else. That's what the agreement was. Pardesa. Let's say he goes up with his friend and he says, will you please lend me this tool? I want to use it in not this pardesa, this garden, but rather pardesa. I want to use it in a garden. Rafik bei kol pardesa dabai. Then you can use this in any pardes that you want. Rashi says, interesting lashon, afilu gadol ke antuchia. And even if this pardes is so big, it's as big as the land of Antuchia, even then it would be okay. Because at the end of the day, you left it very vague, open-ended. You can use it for a pardesa. This is a pardesa. What would be if the person says, I want to borrow your mara and I want to use it, lemirfak pardesi b'loshen rabim. So then the halach is rafik va'ozel kol pardesi. The islay, he's allowed to use it now for all the different pardesim that he has. Meaning now he can use it not only for one pardes, not for any particular pardes, but if he has a whole bunch of pardesim, he'd be able to use this mara to work with all the different pardesim that he has. Umahadr lekate, stating that in the event that the Keli now breaks, so it's not functional anymore. So just like we had in the previous Gemara, now you would have to take the handle, you would have to return it. As opposed to what? You can't be Tevea, the Mashal, to fix it, and you yourself can't even fix it. You can use it as long as it is Basher Rosham, the way it was when you borrowed it. But once it breaks, at that point, you have no schos to go and fix it. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, similarly, if somebody goes up with his friend and he says, Oishlin, hay gargusa, will you please loan me this gargusa? So Rashi says, what's a gargusa? Be'er mayim chayim lahashkoy sadai. So it's a be'er mayim chayim, self-explanatory. And the purpose of this was to water fields. So his friend has this be'er mayim chayim, and he says, will you please loan me the gargusa, the nafla, and then the be'er mayim chayim, the gargusa, breaks. So the halach is loy banila. You can't force the mashal to rebuild it, and if you yourself want to be rebuild it, it's also something that you don't have a right to do. You borrow this gargusa, as long as this gargusa is the way it was when you borrowed it, good. You have all the terms of your sheila, but the minute it's not in the same fashion anymore, at that point, everything expires. What would be if a person says, will you not loan me this gargusa, but rather gargusa, you just say gargusa stam, the nafla, and something happens to a bami law, then the halacha is that if you want to rebuild it, you can rebuild it. Now, you can't be Tevea, the Mashal, to rebuild it for you. But if you want to rebuild it, that's something you'd be allowed to do. Bei Gargusa. Let's say he says, will you please loan me Bei Gargusa? So that already has a whole different connotation. The connotation, Rashi says, is Hashileni Mokim Lachbar Boi Be'er. Meaning, will you please loan me a place? I want to go dig a be'er. So if he says, can you please loan me Bei Gargusa? You're not borrowing an actual be'er Mayim Chaim. What you're borrowing is land that's fertile for you to be able to go ahead and dig this be'er Mayim Chaim. Therefore, if he agrees to it, if he shakes on it, so Kari Va'azel, Kama, Garguse Ba'ari, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to go and you're allowed to start digging throughout the field that this person has, Adam Isramile, until you find what it is you were looking for, meaning, once you find what you're looking for, you have to stop digging. But to the extent that he gave you rights to start digging in his field, this is something you're allowed to do. V'tzorich l'miknei minei, stating that as it relates to this last case, you would have to make a kinyan in order for this to be in effect. And the reason is because although a shoyl always makes a kinyan, over here, what was the kinyan? Meaning, if somebody borrows a para, right, the first mishnah of the Masechta, if somebody of the parrot, or if somebody's borrowing a keli. So over there, when you do mishicha on the thing, so now you're a shoyl, that gives you your rights. Over here, what did you borrow? You borrowed the rights to go dig in the person's field until you find the ber mayim chayim that you're looking for, until you strike gold. Okay, that in and of itself is not a kinyan. There's an agreement. You shook hands on it. It's very nice. But where is the kinyan? So says the Gemara that in a situation like this, where you're not physically acquiring something, all it is the Dibur Ba'alma, now you have to address the fact that She'ela works only with a kinyan. Thus, V'tzarech l'mikne mineh, you would have to make a kinyan. Some technical Gemaras, we do what we do, which is go vayta. Hamaskir ba'yis l'chaveir is returning to laws related to a soicher and a maskir, specifically as it relates to properties. So landlord-tenant situations. Hamaskir ba'yis l'chaveir, if somebody leases a house to his friend, v'nafal, and the house came down, chayv l'hamalei ba'yis. So the halacha is, he has to replace it. So if somebody leased the house for a certain period of time, and now the house, something happened, so the maskir has the responsibility to replace the house that he leased out. Hoyakotan, let's say the initial house was small, lo yasenu gadol, you have no right to make it bigger. Gadol, if it was big, lo yasenu katan, you can't make it smaller. Now, if it was big, the house that you're renting, and now something happened to it, and the masker has an obligation to replace it, I understand why you can't make it small. I'm renting a big house, not a small house. Why would it be true in the reverse? If it's a small house, certainly I'll be willing to take a big house. Herod Rashi says it's not true. Some people prefer a small, cozy house, and as a result, Lav Dafka, you're interested in such a big house, so therefore, whatever the terms were, that's what you have to buy by. Now, if the person says, no problem, problem. I'll take it bigger. Gesunde Hed, you want to add a few thousand square feet? I'm open to it. Okay, but he has to sign off on it. Just based on the initial terms of the agreement, Lav Gafka, this is something he's agreeable to, and therefore you have to stick to what the original terms were. Additionally, Echod, Lo Yasenu Shnayim. Let's say this was a one-bedroom apartment. You can't give him a two-bedroom apartment. Shnayim, Lo Yasenu Echod. It's the same point. Lo Yifchais Ben Achaloinus. You can't give him any less windows than the original apartment had. Lo Yosef Aleim. You're not allowed to add Elamid Hashnayim unless they both agree. The point is that Hamaskir Bayis L'Chaver V'Nofel Chayv L'Hamidoy. He has to replace it. Now does he have to replace it? It has to be pinklich the way the original one was. Not worse, and not even what would be perceived to be better. Says the Gemara, hey Chidami, I don't understand this whole halach. We need some more information in terms of the language that was written in this lease. What? Idam le bayezeh. If the lease said that I'm leasing you this house, then nafal azaleh. Then why, if something happens to it, does he have to replace it? What did you lease? You leased this house. So if this house is here, it's here. If it's not here, so why should I have any responsibilities toward you? And idam le bayistam. And if he said bayistam, meaning the arrangement was, and the agreement reads that I'm going to lease to you a bayis. So if that's the case, then echad, why? If there was a one bedroom, am I lo yasenu shnayim? Or katan, if it was small, am I lo yasenu gadol? My responsibility is to provide a house. So it's a house. If it's big or small, it's a house. If it has more windows or less windows, it's a house. So what's my issue? What would be the problem? In other words, what was the halacha of the mishnah? Halacha of the mishnah was amas kabayis lechaver v'nafal. You have to replace it. You also have to replace it exactly the way it was. So Mara says mamon afshach. If you have to replace it the way it was because he said, I'm leasing you this house, well, then you shouldn't even have to replace it at all because this house means this physical house. Elamai, the reason you have to replace it is because he probably didn't say this house. He said, I'll lease you a house. No, if he said, I'll lease you a house, so then why does it have to be exactly the way it was? My whole responsibility is to replace a house. Amar Ish Lakish, Ish Lakish said, very poshut, the Amalei, it's talking about where he said, Bayashani maskelucha midas arkoi kach b'kach. It's talking about where the lease agreement actually had the specifications of the house. Meaning, he didn't say, Bayash said this particular house. I'm going to lease you a house. But what kind of house is it going to be? It's going to be a two-bedroom. It's going to have four windows. It's going to have a marpeset, right? He started describing the actual dimensions and all the different amenities that this apartment comes with. So being that that's all listed inside, so for that reason, you have a responsibility to replace that. But the Gemara says, Yehochi Ebazai Maila Meimah, then it's Pasha. Meaning, why does the Mishnah have to speak out that when you replace the house, it has to be exactly the way it was? If that's something that the lease agreement spelled out, Schwarz and Weiss, Rochel Bitcha Aktana, there's no room for any ambiguity, any gray area whatsoever. So shouldn't that be obvious? Why is this even needed to be spoken out? So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. You have to say that maybe Rish Lakish meant something a little differently than the way we have it. El Yos Rav and Rish Lakish, when Rav came from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel, and he clarified a lot of things Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had said, right? There were different rumors and memories that the Chachme Bavli knew of these great Amiram, and sometimes Ravin added some clarifications. He says, I'll tell you what Rish Lakish really meant. He meant to Amalei, where the agreement was as follows. Bayis kozeh animaskelucha. So he basically took him to a comparable apartment. It was a two-bedroom with this amount of windows. And he said, I'm going to lease you a house like this. This was the arrangement. Okay, so the Gemara says, I don't know how you change anything. Takati maila memra. Meaning, what's the difference if he spells out the specifications or he just points to another house that looks the same and he says the house is going to be like that? So here's the punchline. So the Gemara says, Leitzrich dekaya gudda denahara. That other apartment was an oceanfront apartment. Literally, it was Aguda de Nahara. That's where it was. It was by the Nahar. Mal de Tema, I would have thought, Mal Kaze de Koye Aguda de Nahara. When he said, I'm going to lease you an apartment that's like this, he didn't mean like this amount of bedrooms. What he meant like this was, it's going to have a similar view. It's going to be oceanfront. Right, there's a big advantage to having an apartment like that. So I would have thought that maybe that's what the kozeh is. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. That if he says bayis kozeh, it has to be literally kozeh. And if it's not literally kozeh, then it's not going to be okay. Either way, the case of the Mishnah is not where he stam said bayis zeh. It's not where he stam said bayis stam. It's talking about where he said bayis kizeh. It's not bayis zeh, thus he has to replace it. It's kizeh. But where kozeh could mean a few different things. And as a result, the Mishnah is being mechadish to us that kizeh means it has to be literally kizeh, and literally kizeh means the same amount of bedrooms, the same amount of windows, etc., etc. And on that note, hadron aloch hashoyel. Either way, we now begin the second to last perek of Maseches Bava Metzia, Perek HaMekabel. So the introduction to Perek HaMekabel is, we are not farmers. And because we're not farmers, pretty much sums it up, it's going to be difficult to fully appreciate and deher some of the nuance that we are going to discuss over the next couple of dafin, stating that, just to have a little bit of a tam of what it is we're about to learn. The name of the perek is Perek HaMekabel. And the beginning of the perek talks about a makabel. So what's a makabel? A makabel is somebody that was a sharecropper. So Reuven has a field that, if it's worked properly, will yield peres. Problem is, Reuven doesn't know how to work the field, or he's not interested in working the field. So he hired Shimon, who's an operator, who's a mumcha, he's a professional farmer, and he's going to be able to maximize the profits that can come out of this field. And they agree on some sort of profit-sharing arrangement. Reuven's providing the field, Shimon's going to do the arbit, and there's going to be some sort of arrangement. This arrangement, from a super-duper high level, in the times of Chazal, was done in one of two ways. One was what's known as the arisus arrangement. The other one was known as the chakirus arrangement. The arisus, or the aris, was somebody that worked the field, and the arrangement was that I'm going to take a certain percentage of whatever this field produces, and you're going to get a certain percentage of whatever this field produces. A chakirus arrangement is where Shimon agrees to work the field, they're not splitting percentage-wise the profits that are going to come from this field, but rather the chayker, the operator, agrees to pay a certain amount of money to the owner of the property for having the rights to go and work the field, and after he pays that, all additional profits are going to work them. So the aris relationship is a profit-sharing arrangement, as opposed to the chayker arrangement, which is more of a traditional lease agreement, where the chayker, the farmer, the tenant, so to speak, he pays rent. It was usually done in the form of bushels of grain, but the point is he's guaranteeing that he is going to give this amount of money to the machker, to the owner of the field, and any additional profits that is going to be earned are going to belong to him. Either way, Rashi says that when the Mishnah starts with the first word, HaMekabel, what it means is, oi, either we're talking about ba'arisos l'mechtzu l'shush v'l'rivia, either we're talking about an aris where there's a profit-sharing agreement, oi, b'chakirus, b'kach, b'kach, kurim l'shana, where I'm going to pay you rent in the form of tfuah that's ostensibly going to be produced by this field that I am working. Either way, if someone's mekabel a field from his friend, says the Mishnah, makom shenagu liktzar yiktzar. If the minig is that when the farmer harvests the field, meaning when he cuts the grain, so the way he cuts the grain is he's koitzer, then what he should do is you should be koitzer, lakker. If the minig is not just to reap, but to actually take all the tfu and rip it out, meshroshoy, literally, from the ground, yakker, then that's what you're supposed to do. So, as is evident from this line of the Mishnah, we'll see it a little bit better in the Gemara, there were two ways that the farmers used to harvest. One was they would just cut. So they had a sickle or whatever the keli exactly was, and they would come and they would cut the tefuah. Another thing, that way that it was done, is they would literally root it out from the ground. L'may nafkamina, if you kitzer, there's going to be a little bit of something, a little bit of stubble, we'll see in a minute, that's going to be attached to the ground. If you oiker it, so then this is mikana la bolam afreya, right? It never existed. This is something that never was really there. So it seems that there were different minhagim. So the Mishnah says, first thing you have to know in the Shulchan Aruch of a mekabel is, if the minig hamakim is liktzar, yiktzar. If the minig hamakim is lakar, yakar. Lachrish, achar of yachrish. So there were some places where the minig was that after the tefuah was harvested, the farmer would go and he would plow over the field. Now, usually when you think of plowing, you think of plowing in the beginning of the season, right? To make it grow. Chayrish Zayreya, those are the first two melachis of the Lamatas, melachis of the Sidur, the Pas. That's where the story starts. But this is a situation where the farmers, sometimes they would be Chayrish afterwards. And the reason that they would be Chayrish afterwards, Rashi says, is because it was a very good way to make sure that all the weeds, all the stuff that you don't want in the ground were there. Now, why do you care so much if there are weeds there? You harvest it anyways. Again, we're not farmers. But Rashi says the reason is because if there's going to be weeds in the ground, then when you're going to plant the next season, some of those bad grasses are going to get involved in what you planted, and it's going to affect the crop. So you want to make sure it's all not there. So the typical thing to do is just to pluck it out, old school. But apparently there was a minig where they would mamish come with a bulldozer, and they would be chayrish with the oxen and all, and that's the way that they would get rid of it. So it says the Mishnah, does a makabel do that? Does he not do that? It depends on the minig. If the minig is to do it, you do it. Hakol keminig amadina. In other words, in short, everything depends on the minig amadina. Says the Mishnah Vayitik, shem shecholkin betvuah, kach cholkin betheven ubekash. So this, we'll see more in tomorrow's stuff, but this part of the Mishnah is already referring to a profit share, to an aris. So the aris who has some split, so just like they would split the tefuah, obviously that is the ikker of the arrangement, so too they will chaylik the teven and they will chaylik the kash. So if somebody asks you, how do you taich teven? You'd say straw. If somebody asks you, how do you taich kash? You would say straw, right? It sounds like the synonyms of each other. But if they come together in the same Mishnah, then there has to be a nuance, right? There has to be some difference between Tevin and Kash. So if you learn the first Tosfos in the Perek, Tosfos Dibra Maschel B'Tevin U'B'Kash, says Tosfos, Oysoi Shenikzas Imashi Boilus Kori Tevin. The straw that gets cut together with the shiboilus, meaning when you're cutting the tefuah, straw comes off. That's what's known as tevin. V'hanisha ba'aretz, but the one that's remaining in the ground, right? We said when they were koitzer and they weren't oiker, there'd be a little bit something left in the ground. That's kori kash, shekorin. And Tosfos says, you want to know what the word that we have, presumably the French word for this, is stubble, stubble, right? So it's stubble. So the tevin and the kash, obviously they're both true, but they're not mamish the same. Either way, the Mishnah says, this is going to play itself out in the Gemara a little bit. That kishem shecholken betfuah, kach cholken betevin ubekash. Additionally, kishem shecholken beyayin. Let's say this aris, this sharecropper, is working a vineyard. So just like the arrangement obviously is for them to be able to divide the wine, kach cholken besmeiris, so to any branches that are taken off the vineyard, that are pruned when you're doing the work, that too gets divided per the agreement. Not just that, ubekonim. So what are konim? So Rashi quoting the Gemara says that konim were reeds, literally, that were used to hold up the vineyard. So you don't want the vineyard to fall. So like this, they had these konim, these things that were erected, pashit, to keep the vineyard in place. That too gets divided per the arrangement of the arisus, the shneyem nesafkin as akonim, and as it relates to who needs to provide the konim lechatchila, when you're going to work a vineyard, it gets divided equally amongst these two chevra. In fact, we'll see in the Gemara, that's good for the reason that they divided equally. The reason they divided equally is because shnei mesafkin as akonim, being that they contributed equally, so this is just like you're getting back what it is that you had initially provided. Either way, in short, what did the Mishnah say? That when it comes to a makabel, it comes to a choyker, hakol kemin gamadina. That's the short version. Stating that, the Gemara did mention a few specific examples, and the Gemara is going to go through them. So the first example of hakol kemin gamadina that was mentioned in the Mishnah was makam chenago liksa yiksa lako yaka. So he said that there were two ways that the farmer would cut and reap the tefuah. The berina yiktsayru could happen in one of two fashions. One is ktsira, berina yiktsayru, and the other one is berina yakayru. The mom is going to rip it out of the ground. Clearly, they're not the same. It sounds like there might be pros and cons doing it each way. Ad kedei kach, that halacha says that if the minig is lakar, you have to do it that way. If the minig is liktar, you have to do it that way. Says the Gemara. Abraisa. Ton. Makam shenagu liktar, ini rashay lakar. Lakar, in the Rashi looks, it's just a slightly more dramatic way of saying what the Mishnah says, right? The Mishnah just says, Liktzar, Yiktzar, Lakar, Yaka, Kol Kamina Kamedina. The price is just a drop wordier. In the Rashi Lakar, in the Rashi looks. Vishne Ma'akvin Zelza. And each one has the right to defend the Minig, and he can say that you want to deviate from the way people do it. This is not something that you are allowed to do. And the Brisa demonstrates, Liktar, Eine Rashay Lakar, if it's a situation of Liktar, you can't be Oiker. Meaning, if the Minig is Liktar, so now you can't be Oiker. Meaning, Sai the farmer can't say that I want to be Oiker even though the Minig is Liktar. And Sai, the owner of the field, can't tell the farmer that I want you to be Oiker despite the fact that the Minig is Liktar. And the reason is because Hai Omar, the owner of the field, can say to the farmer, I don't want you to be oiker. Meaning, if the minig is liktzar, he can say, I want that. Why? Because be'ino detitfen li'aroi. Because I want the tevin, I want this kash, I want the straw to remain in the ground. If you're going to be oiker it, so You're going to remove it? And he says, I don't want to remove. The Hayomar and Fakert, if it's the owner of the field that says that I want you to deviate from the minig and I would rather you to be oikeret, he can't force the farmer to do that because he could say, I'm not interested. It's much harder work and it's not something that I'm willing to do. So in the event that the minig amakim is to be oikeret, no one has the right to say instead be koitzer. Why Hayomar? The owner of the field can say that if the minig is lakar, I don't want you to be koitzer. Why not? Because be'ino the tinakar. I want you to clean out all the weeds. I want to make sure the weeds are completely removed. And as a result, it's not something I want you to do. And if it's in the other way, if the minig, again, is lakgar, the owner of the field can't tell the farmer, I want you to be kaitzer. And the reason is because the farmer has a right to say, be'ina tivna. I want my chelik in the tevin. Because as we mentioned, they're going to divide it. And being that they're going to divide it, he has a right to say that I want my chelik, and if it's going to be in the ground, I'm not going to have it right now. So it's for that reason, each one has the ability to defend his position. Again, it's very, very technical. But the point is, there's pros and cons to being oiker and to being koitzer. And as a result, each person always has the schus to say that the minig is this way, and therefore I don't give you reshus to go against what the minig is, and that was the whole point. It says the Gemara, v'shneim ma'akvin zeh al zeh lamali. Meaning the words v'shneim ma'akvin zeh al zeh seems to be a little bit wordy, seems to be superfluous. And the Gemara thinks maybe it's coming to be marbe something. What exactly is it coming to be marbe? So the Gemara says it's not really coming to be marbe anything, but rather matam ka'omar. V'shneim ma'akvin zeh al zeh, that part of the braisa is really the hesber, it's the explanation. It's everything that we just said. Matam liksa in rishali, lakir in rishali, liksa. Why is it that we're so technical in terms of the way you have to abide by the minig? It's mishum the shnei ma'akvin zeh, because each one can be ma'akiv. If you look at Rashi, this is a kaloymar Rashi, because it's not so meduyik in the taitch of the Gemara. Kaloymar mipnei shneim yesh lahem taino l'kaino l'kan. Shnei ma'akvin means that each person has a taino. That's what the word means. And each person has a taino. It's for that reason you have no right to go keneged the minig. Lachroish acharov yachrish. Misha gave another example of Akol Kaminig HaMedina, and that is that if the minig was to be chayrish afterwards, you have to be chayrish afterwards. Why would you think otherwise? And not just that, why does this have to be singled out in the Mishnah? Right, the Mishnah is making the general statement Akol Kaminig HaMedina. So, number one, that in and of itself you would think is somewhat intuitive. The Mishnah already said Akol Kaminig HaMedina, and the Mishnah feels the necessity to speak out this one minig. There must have been a lot of minhagim that governed how exactly you're a farmer, right? It's a hard day's work to be a farmer. So a lot of things are going on. So for some reason, the Mishnah felt that it had to speak out this. It seems to be very, very obvious. So let's talk about a place where the minig is that they don't remove the weeds mit the hand. And the farmer went and he pulled out all the weeds. I would have thought, the farmer has a right to tell the owner of the field. Meaning, removing the weeds with your hand is the equivalent thereof to plowing, like we spoke out when we learned it in the Mishnah. So I would have thought that maybe as a Kayach HaTayna, I know that the minig amakim is for me to be chayrish. And I would have been chayrish, but I just did something else. Instead of being chayrish, I decided to pull it out with the hand. So shouldn't that be the equivalent thereof? And I think that should absolve me now of my responsibility to do a proper chayrisha. Kamashma landi boyle lefrushile. Yeah, you want it? No problem. It makes a lot of sense. But you have to do this before you start this agreement. You should have been the farishet, and being that you didn't, so it's for that reason, this is Dvarim Shabalev, this doesn't work. Hakol Kemina Gamadina. It says the Mishnah, Hakol Kemina Gamadina. Wherever the word Hakol was mentioned, it's coming to be Marba something. And the question is, what are we coming to be Marba? Zakta Gemara. Lasuye Hadatan Rabban is coming to be Marba something that was taught explicitly in a Brice. Again, this is 101. Right? The Mishnah just says the word Hakol, and that one word is meant for the Talmidim to understand that there's some ribuy over here. There's a price of somewhere where it says in the furish. The price is much wordier, but the hakol, that one word, is lasuye something that's mamish a mefurish a price. What's this price? Mokum shenagu lahaskari lanois al gabi karka, a place where the minig is that if someone's going to come, he's going to work a field, he gets to keep and include in his schiris and his arrangement any tree that's there. Maskirin, it's included. Mokim she'ein nagu lahaskir, ein maskirin, it's not going to be included. So as we're going to see in a minute, we're talking about a field that had tefua, stay love on, your classic tefua field. And there was a tree there, and this tree bore fruit. When the artist, the chayker, came, and he took upon himself responsibility to work the field, he wasn't going to work the apple tree. The apple tree is doing its thing. He's going to work the field. This is a crop season. He has to make sure it's going to knack. So there were different minhagim, it seems, in terms of if I'm entitled to a certain percentage of all the profits that are inside this field, does that mean I'm also going to be entitled to anything that the apple tree yields? Or no, I'm only entitled to the profits that come from where I'm doing work. This is literally a free source of income. You didn't put any work into it. It's my tree. It was never included in the arrangement. So what is it? It depends. Zok de Breisa. Mokum shenagu lahaskir lones al gabe karka maskir. Really, all depends on the minhag hamakim, and that is what the hakel is coming to rabbis. Hakel is coming to rabbis is halacha, but the Gemara says even this halacha seems so pshita. Right? Again, the hakel is lasuye this halacha. The Gemara is now trying to understand the halacha. It seems to be so obvious. So the Gemara says leitzricha. Now I'll tell you the chiddush. The kuli alma yavi betilsa. It's talking about where most, or not most, all of the arisen in this area. So the arrangement that they had together with the balabos of the field is that they kept 2/3, and they were yavi betilsa, they gave the owner of the land 1/3. But Azaliyu, and this person went, v'yavi beriva, and instead of giving him 1/3, he gave him 1/4. Mao detema, we could have thought, the amar lei, that the owner of the field can tell the aris, that hide the batzrilach, the reason that I was agreeable to take less than the going rate, meaning most people take 1/3, and I'm agreeable to take 1/4. So you could have thought that maybe the person could say that the reason that I was agreeable to take less is the loya ibn alach b'ilonis, because it was sort of understood, meaning, I'm not a shaita, so why would I agree to this deal? You should have chat, because even though the minhag hamakom really is that you get to keep from the peiros or ilon, in this case, I'm going to keep the peiros or ilon, and because I'm going to keep the peiros or ilon, it's for that reason I'm giving you a better end of the deal. Kamash malandi by leila frushalei. That's the chiddush you should have explained. That's also obvious. If the minhag is not to be masker the tree, so of course it shouldn't be included. So the Gemara says the opposite. Mamash. Loitzricha, what the chiddush is, the kuliyam mekabli berifa, where all of the maskers, they took a quarter. So, and he took for himself a much better deal. Now the time I would have thought, maybe the soicher could say, the oris could say, the farmer could say, the only reason I agreed to give you more is because in my mind I thought I was getting from the tree. And even though the minig is really not to take from the tree, but you should have chapped, why else would I have agreed to this? That's the chiddush, the frushele. He should have been mefarishin, and if you're not mefarishin, you are not going to get it. It's a very interesting toisus. Top tois on the Yomid, second tois in the parak. With tois says, it sounds like from this Gemara that the way the profit sharing, the way the splits worked between the operator and the owner of the field was that who got the better end of the deal. It sounds like it was the aris that got the better end of the deal. Right, in our Gemara, either the owner of the field is getting 1/3 or he's getting 1/4. But it sounds like 2/3 or 3/4 of it are going to the operator. Tosfos says, I have a kasha because b'chol duchti mashmi. He says, throughout Shas, wherever the Gemara talks about the split arrangement between the operator and the person that's funding this geshäft, it's just the opposite. Over there, it sounds like the balakark is always the one that gets more. And when we say that the aris goes l'mechsel l'shushul r'viyah, it's from the aris's perspective, that he's the one that ends up with the yodai ala tachtayna. So Tosfos says, I'm struggling a little bit to understand, what was this arrangement? Now really, this is madda hava hava, it's all semantics. It's just a question of who was making more money back in the day. But it's still an interesting topic to discuss, and that is tachlis garet. How was the arrangement made? Was the person that provided the capital, the person that provided the actual, right, in that classic Iska case, which is coming up, by the way, in the next few dafin, hi Iska. So over there, there was like a 50-50 arrangement in the classic sense. That's what it sounds like. Over here, it's already now 50-50, right? The numbers are already tilted in one direction. But the question is, who got the better end of the deal? So Tosfos says, in our sugya, it sounds like the operator gets the better end of the deal. And in everywhere else in Shas, it sounds like that it's the owner of the property that gets the better end of the deal. And Tosfos is very bothered by this. Tema, says Tosfos. This is Mamasha Tema. And Tosfos says, V'yesh Loimer, you have to say, and we saw this really in the Gemara's and in the Perek Ezo Neshach, because it played itself out in Hilchas Ribbis. If you remember, there was a Mishnah about this. There were some places where the owner of the field used to provide the seeds to do all the work, and then there were other places where the operator used to provide the seeds. So it says, Tosfos, that's what it depended on. If the owner of the field is the one that provided the Bizra, he provided the seeds, so then he's going to end up getting the better end of the deal. If it's the operator that did, then he's going to end up getting the better end of the deal. Either way, it's an interesting Tosfos, the top Tosfos here on the Omid. Zok the Gemara Vaitik. Shem Shecholkim Betfuah. The Mishnah said that just like the Arisos agreement works for the Tefillah, that's obviously what it's all about, so too it's going to be true for all Tevin and Kash. Rav Yosef said, the minig is that you never give Tevin to an Aris. Rav Yosef saying a chiddush. It's really not like the Mishnah, right? What did the Mishnah say? Kishem shecholkim betfuah, kach cholkim betevin v'kash. So Rav Yosef, and I'm Meir, you should know, not like the Mishnah. Rav Yosef is not a Tanahu Polig, right? So how does Rav Yosef have a right to say this? There it says, the Rishonim speak out. That what Rav Yosef is saying is that that's goof a minig. Meaning, when the Mishnah says, Kishem shecholkim betfuah, kach cholkim betevin v'kash, what the Mishnah is saying, it's not like it's a din. It's not exeris akasim. The theme and the spirit of these dafim we're going to learn now is akol kiminig amedina. So he was saying that that was the minig. In Babel, you should know it was not the minig. Why do you have to say it? Meaning, if it's not the minig, it's not the minig. Right? Zil kari beirav. I don't know. Go figure out what the minig is. So the Gemara says, the ikka inish the yav ayin yafuhu v'loigam minimineh. What Rabbi Yosef said is, let's say you're in a place and you observe that, I don't know, one or two or three people are doing it. So you could have had a havamina. Maybe this is the minig. And maybe when I sign my Arisus agreement, I'm going to have to abide by these laws. So Rabbi Yosef, I want you to know, in Bavel, the minig is megitnish. And if you find people that do it, that's their own geshef, they're doing it by in Yafa. But the minig is always that this is not something that you do. Lo yigam rina minev. Rabbi Yosef said, Bukhra v'tafta v'arkafta. So what are these things? So Rashi again gives a little clinic here in agriculture, as does Tosfos. And that is that it seems that the farmers, they used to dig a ditch around their field for protection. Around that ditch, meaning adjacent to it, mamish to the side of it, they would build a little mound. And that mound was made up of three layers of dirt. And the three layers of dirt is what Rabbi Yosef is referring to when he says, Bukhra, Vitafta, Varkafta. In fact, Rashi is very wordy. Rashi says, Bukhra was the first layer of dirt. And Vamai Korile Bukhra, Miloshin Bechar. Tafta is the second layer of dirt. A little bit more. And our kafta finally is the third level of dirt. But either way, so as it relates to these three levels, not just that, the koni de chizra and the fence that was around the field, the balabais. It's the responsibility, it's the onus of the balabais. He needs to provide. Whoever owns the land in these arrangements, he's the one that had to give this. The chizra gufe de arisa. As it relates to chizra gufe, so these were thorns that were woven into these fences. That was already the responsibility of the aris. Klola de milsa, here's the bottom line. Kol ikur balma. Anything that's the Iker Balma. So Balma is an interesting word. You don't stumble upon this word every single day. There's a whole Tosfos that Tosfos talks about, the third Tosfos on the Amud, what the etymology of the word Balma is. So Tosfos says that the word Balma is Miloshin Shmira, Kemoi Piv Balum, Kala Boilum Atzmei B'Shas Meriva. Boilum means to be quiet, right? To close your mouth. In this case, to have a secure, closed property. So the point is, called Iker Balma, anything that's the Iker security of this field of Alabais. That's the responsibility of the Alabais to provide. Netirusa Yasirta, anything that's going to be a Shmir Yasera, like, you know, putting barbed wire around the field, that's already not the responsibility of the Alabais. That's already going to be Daris. Rabbi Yisrael said, Mora is a hoe. Vizavila is a shovel. Vidavla is a pail. The Zarnuka, Rashi said this is some leather flask. The Balabais, all these things were necessities for the farmer, and as a result, the Balabais had to provide it. Arisa Ovid Beya Ori. However, the Oris, his responsibility was to make this Beya Ori. What exactly is the Beya Ori? So Rashi says this is an irrigation canal that took water from wherever the body of water was into this field. This is something that Balabais doesn't have to provide. And even though it's really a necessity, but it's only a necessity if you don't want to shvit so much. Meaning, you could always do it the old-fashioned way. Be a vasa treg and start schlepping water. You rather want to take advantage of modern technology, and you want to have some fancy irrigation system that, you know, runs on Wi-Fi, and you expect the Balabais to provide it to you. That's not something he's obligated to do. If you want to have this whole geshef, this is something that you would already need. Says the Mar Konim, I have a detail. Kum Tarayim Konim. In a vineyard, right? Why is this even part of the equation? These were konim that were shaved, okay? They used to be maimikfanim. Why were they shaved? Again, you have to be a farmer. But the bottom line is that's what these konim were, and the purpose of it was to hold up the gefanim. The Gemara, the last line of the Mishnah was that they both provide these konim. It's so obvious they both provide the kanim. What do I need it for? And Rashi adds a toisefes knech, little oomph to the Gemara's kasha, and that is that if the Mishnah says that they divide the kanim, then obviously they both have to provide the kanim. Right? It doesn't make sense that when it comes to the chalukah, it should be divided one way, but when it comes to providing it, it should be divided the other way. So the Gemara says, well, we spoke out, well, we learned the Mishnah. The way you read the Mishnah is matam ka'amar, meaning the end of the Mishnah is the reason for what it said previously. Matam shneim chalkim b'kanim. What's the reason that they both divide the kanim? Mishum d'shneim esafkin esakanim. Being that they both provided, so they both were equally responsible for the actual expense that is the kanim. It's for that reason that when it comes to dividing it, they both divide it equally. And this is Hadron Aloch on the first daf here in Perek HaMekabel. So as it relates to Reid, we just finished Perek HaShoyel, and I think it's Kedai. It's not just Kedai, with Bali Choyf, to go back to one daf. I thought maybe daf Kuf is the right daf to go back to. The sugi of Amach Lepar V'chamar, and just speak out one Ha'ara, which of course is Negeya, Hamach Lepar V'chamar, but it's really Negeya, all the Bavis, and it's one of the foundational inyanim as it relates to understanding Perish of Alper and understanding what it is that we do. And that is the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph said, HaMachlif Paro V'chamor V'yoldo V'chein HaMoicha Shevchasa V'yoldo. So Reuven had a Paro, Shimon had a Chamor. And Reuven and Shimon agreed that they're going to swap out animals. Reuven says, I'll give you my Paro, Shimon, in exchange for you giving me your Chamor. Or somebody had a Shivcha and he sold the Shivcha to somebody else. Then the Moicher and the Lekeach went to the Para that just traded hands, went to the Shifcha that just traded hands, and they saw, lo and behold, the Para had a baby cow, and the Shifcha had a baby slave. Zeh Oimer Achalei Macharti. The Moicher is arguing that it's very Yitachin that the baby was born before the Mechira, and as a result, it was born when it was still mine, and it belongs to me. And the other person said, Mishalokachti, then no. It was born after I already purchased it. So the halacha is, Yachloiku, being that we're not exactly sure what's going on over here. So therefore, the halacha is Yachloiku. The Gemara initially jumped on the case and says, Amai Yachloiku, why is the halacha Yachloiku? Velechse b'shus the man kaimu. Velechse yidach ha-moitza mechaveri, all of araya. Why don't we say, let's take a look at where exactly this parah is, where exactly the shivcha is, and whoever has it in their reshus, be it the moicher, be it the lekeach, should be considered the muchzik, and the other person that wants to take it should be ha-moitza mechaveri, all of araya. So the Gemara said, Amar Rabchi Barabban Amar Shmuel, you have to say that the parah was in an agam, the shivcha was in a simta, it's in a place where nobody's a muchzik, being that nobody's a muchzik, so you can't say I'm moitzim mechaveri all over right. But the Gemara had a follow-up question. Even though there's no muchzik, just based on the technicalities of the case, there's another type of cheskis mama known as marakama. And why don't we look at who the marakama is? Who's the marakama? That's easy. It's the moicher, and let it belong to the moicher. Meaning, and for the Gemara, I hear you have to say hamani sumchesi. The Tana, the Mishnah, sumches who holds mamin hamutol b'sofik. We spoke out the second Tosfos on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph that brings from Rabbeinu Shmuel that was Medayik, that it sounds like from the Gemara that even after a Medayik Kimta, that a Machle Par V'Chamor is Yachloiku, because it's going according to Sumchas Harel's Mamon Amut B'Sofik Cholke B'Leishvu, but we still have to come on to the Kimta of the Para being Oimedes Ba'agam and the Shivcha being Kaima B'Simta. Because if there was a muchzik, even sumchis would agree that the halacha would be hamoitzim mechaveri al varai. Meaning, the only time sumchis says mamon amutav asafik cholkim b'leishvua when it comes to a safik mamon is when there's no muchzik. There is a marakama, and sumchis' chiddush is that you don't go basa marakama, rather the halacha is yachloikim b'leishvua. But enochinami, if there was a muchzik, you'd go basa muchzik. And Rabbeinu Shmuel was medayikit from the Gemara, because when the Gemara introduced sumchis, the Gemara didn't say ella. Hamani sumchesi, but rather the Gemara said Hamani sumchesi, which sounds like it's a teretz to the second kasha, not to the first kasha. And the teretz to the first kasha is what we thought it was lechatchil, and that is it's talking about a situation where there's no muchzik. We mentioned that the Goyim from the Rambam not that way, and this is a big shaila. It's a davar oimed berumay shalolam, whether once the Gemara made the ikimta that the Mishnah is going according to sumches that holds mamon amuta b'safik cholkim b'leishvua, do we still have to say that the Mishnah is talking about where there was no muchzik, or maybe at this point even if there's a mochzik, still the halachas give me a chalke b'shvua. Because just like sumchis holds, mom and amut of a safi chalke b'lo yishvua, keneged cheskes marakama, so too sumchis holds, mom and amut of a safi chalke b'lo yishvua, keneged mochzik as well. But that's the second toisvus on the yom. We bypass the first toisvus on the yom. That's today's raid. Toisvus, on the very top of Daf Kuf Amar Aleph, asks a bumbakash. Hamachlif parvachamar. Let's focus on that case. Even though Tosfos Kash is on both cases, it's on the hamachlif parvachamar case, and it's on the hamoiches shivchase the older case. But it's easier in the hamachlif parvachamar case, so we'll pick that one. Hamachlif parvachamar v'yolda. Ze oimer achloi macharti, v'ze oimer mishal akachti achloiku. Freik the gemara amai hamoitze mechaveri olav arayo. Let's see whose rishus it's in. And the other person should be a moitze mechaber. And the Gemara said, it has to be talking about where it was nobody's rishos. Because if it was in somebody's rishos, that person would be the mochzik, and the halacha would be not yachloiku, it would be ha moitze mechaber yol v'ray. Freita is akasha. The Gemara says, mesechtes bavet basrit, aflam udvav amaral, and perichas kesabatim, ha goidrois ein lohem chazoka. That when it comes to goidrois, when it comes to animals, there's no such thing as a cheskas ma. And the reason is because goydris come and go. They have a mind of their own. They're very difficult to control. And as a result, the fact that somebody has goydris in his rishos is in and of itself no raya that he owns it. If that's the case, says Tosfos, ha goydris ein lahem chazaka. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Ha machlev par v'chamar v'lechse b'shus t'man kaimo v'lahavi idach ha-moitze mechaveri all of a raya. We're dealing with a para. A para is goydrois. And goydrois ain't lahem chazak. As I think Tosfos. And Tosfos has a teretz, which is a very hard teretz to properly understand. And kalma kulmasin shel lomdin v'super lomdin nishtabru to try to explain exactly what Tosfos means in his teretz. But this is Tosfos' gross akasha. And that is, what was the Gemara's question? V'lechse b'shusa d'man kaimo v'lehevi idach ha-moitze mechaveri olav arayo. Why is this not goydrois? And halacha revachi ibi yisrael that ha-goydrois ein lahem chazak. So, as it relates to the raid, to speak out a shtickle from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Shem Yimkum Damai, it's in Kovit Shiurim, it's Chelik Beis, it's Simen Tes. The name of the Simen is Bedina de Muchsik Umarakama. It's very, very poshit. Rabbi Chanan himself refers to his shtickle Torah as being a dover poshit, but it's a dover ha'oimid berumay shaloylam, and Be'ez Hashem, it, I believe, lends a lot of clarity when it comes to understanding sugyas that really are from the sugyas chamuris and shas. And Rabbi Chanan's shtickle begins where Masechtas Bava Metzia begins. The first Mishnah, Shnai Moichsim B'Talis, Zeh Oymer Ani Mitzasiyah V'Zeh Oymer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Oymer Kula Shali V'Zeh Oymer Kula Shali, Zeh Yishava She'en Lo B'Pachas Michetzio V'Zeh Yishava She'en Lo B'Pachas Michetzio V'Yachloik. No, Shnai Moichsim B'Talis, what's the halacha? Yachloik Freit Toisvis on that Beis Amaral, the second Toisvis Masechtas Bava Metzia, Tema. Why is the halacha that Shnai Moichsim B'Talis Yachloik B'Shvua Maishna? Why is this different than Ahi Arba? With the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim above a Basra Daflam Adalar Mubei says that the halacha was called the Olam Gavah. So what was Ahi Arba? So it was a Maisa Shoya Kachoya where there was a ship. Two people were fighting over the ship and they came into Bezdin. Agansa Maisa Ayin Shom. And at the end, what did Chazal say? The Chacham and Paskin called the Olam Gavah. So Frey Toys says, I don't understand. Why is it Shnai Moichs in the Talis? The halacha is Yachloiku Beshvua. And when it comes to Ahi Arba, which sounds very similar to Shnai Moichs in the Talis, over there the halacha was called the Olam Gavah. Says Toysvis V'yeshloimar, you have to say the oichsin shani, that there's a difference between Shnai Moichsin Batalis and Ahi Arba. Because Ahi Arba was a ship, nobody was holding the ship. As opposed to Shnai Moichsin Batalis, two people are walking into Bezdin and they're holding a talis. Why is that different? Because when two people are holding something, it's choshev ki'ilu kol echad yeshloiba bevada yachetzi. It's as if we see up for sure that each person owns the half that he's holding. There's an anan sahadi that if you're holding on to a half a talis, you own that half a talis. And if you're holding on to a half a talis, you own that half a talis. So be that there's an anan sahadi that each person has on half the talis. So over here, the loch is going to be yachloik. Why a shvur? No, the Gemara talks about that. It's the whole beginning of a mitzvah. But the point is, by hahi arba, over there, nobody was holding on to the ship. Being that nobody was holding on to the ship, there was called all Shalom Gav. Oichsin Shani. When you're holding on, it's different, and it's based on an Anan Sahadi, the Mai the Tof is Haidi Day, Umay the Tof is Haidi Day. The truth is that Loshin of Anan Sahadi, the Mai the Tof is Haidi Day, Umay the Tof is Haidi Day, it comes from Rab Chia Kamaisa. The Gemara itself uses that Sprach and Afkim Lamed Aleph. So really, it's a Loshin HaGemara. But the point is that it's Mavur, Toysfus Tapez Lamed Aleph. Really, a Loshen HaGemar and Afkim Lamed Aleph, that Shnayim Moichsen B'Talas, the reason that Loch is Yachloiku, is because we see that each person is Muchsik. He's holding on to half of the Talas. And if you're holding on to something, there's an Anan Sahadi, that thing belongs to you. Like, what do the words Anan Sahadi mean? We are witnesses that this is yours. So if you're holding on to something, it's as if there are literally Edom testifying that this belongs to you. If you take a look at the Rosh adds a very famous Lashon. He says that if a person's holding on to something, there's a chazoka, kol masha tachas yad adam, hare elu shaloi. What's known in yeshiva as a cheskes kolma. If you're holding on to something, that in and of itself is a raya, it's an umdina that it's yours. Why? Because if not, why were you holding on to it? In other words, says Rabbi Chanan, it's mavur in Bava Metzia, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, from Tosfos and the Rosh and from the Gedolei HaRishayim, that there's an idea that if someone is muchzik in something, that's a raya that it is. Anan sahadi the maida tof is haidi dehu. Chazaka kol mash tachas yad adam hare eru shalai. Now let's just understand this chazaka a little bit better. What's the anan sahadi? Mechtei, just because I'm holding it, that means it's mine. Maybe it's not mine. Maybe it's yours. So why am I holding it? I don't know, because I'm a ganav. Mechtei, it's mine. The teretz is incorporated in anan sahadi. The Maida Tov is Haidi Day, incorporated in Chazaka Kol Masha Tachas Yad Adam Areyu Shaloi, is Achsuki Inchi Piganovi Loi Machsakina. Right? The yisoid of what underpins the Anan Sahadi, the yisoid of what underpins the Cheskes Kolma, is a different Chazaka. It's a Chazaka that a person probably is not a Ganev. We know there's Ganovim, but we assume that Kol Deparish is not a Ganev. And as a result, because of this Chazaka, that you're not a Ganev, that itself begets a chazaka that if you're holding on to something, that something belongs to you. And that's this inyan of Anan Sahadi, the Maida Tov is Haidi Day, or Maida Tov is Haidi Day. This is the reason that HaGoydra is saying Lahem Chazaka. HaGoydra is saying Lahem Chazaka, says Rabbi Chanan, is so poshit. Because how could you have an Anan Sahadi, the Maida Tov is Haidi Day, or Maida Tov is Haidi Day, when it comes to Goydras? The whole yesoid of Anan Sahadi, the whole yesod of Cheskes Kolma is that if I'm holding it, it must be mine. Why? Because ich bin ish daganev, so why would it be in my rishos? Oh, must be, because I am the rightful owner of this item. By goydris, there's a different teretz to why it might be in your rishos. It could be it's in your rishos because it walked into your rishos. It has a life of its own. Meaning, the whole yesod of Cheskes Kolma, the whole yesod of Anan Sahadi is achsuki inshi beganovi, loy mesachkinen. That's the real Chazaka that's behind the Chazaka. That's the rest of the story. That's all Cheskes Kolma says. Is Achzuki Inish Beganovi by Mesachin. And all Cheskes Kolma says is that a person is Nitkan Ganev. Okay, so if the noise over here is either I'm a Ganev or not a Ganev, I'll Zen Nema, not Sahadi, the Maida Tov is Haidi Day, I'll Zen Nema, Cheskes Kolma. But Goydus is another tzad. Goydus, it could be Yitaka, not a Ganev, but at the same time, it's not yours. Why? Because it just poof, ended up in your Rishos. That's the Yisoy, that's the Oymik of why it is that a Goydus is saying Lam Chazak. It's poshit. And this is the Hakdama that Rabbi Chanan gives to Hishtekel. I'll be afraid Rabbi Chanan, I have a cash. Kasha from a Gemara in Masechtas Bava Metzia Da Vava Meveis. So this is already, we're getting close to the end of the Masechtas, so just around the world, just to go through some of the greatest sugyas, and that is the sugya of Tokfu Koyin. So the sugya of Tokfu Koyin really begins with a Mishnah. Sofik Bechairois, if you have a Sofik Bechair, Rashi says, what was the Sofik Bechairois? There was a behema that was Yolda. A behema gave birth to a baby behema. Ve'en Yodua in Bichra Kfarim Loi. And there was a Sofik whether or not this was a Bechair or this was not a Bechair. Pashit, the animal had given birth previously to a nephil, but one of these nephilim, when you learn Masechtas Bechairis, Masechtas Chulin, it's not clear whether this is really an animal or it's not an animal. And as a result, it was a Safik, they didn't know. So now this second animal that's born is a Safik Bechair. So the halacha is like this, Echad Bechair Adam, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with Bechair Adam and you're learning the sugis of Pinyin Aben, the Echad Bechair Behema, it doesn't matter if you're learning the sugis of Masechtas Bechairis, which deals primarily with a Bechair Behema, Bein Torim, Bein Tmeim, it doesn't matter if it's a Bechair Tor or it's a Chamar, that's that has some sort of kedusha. The halacha is hamoitzi mecha very all of a rat. Being that it's a suffix whether this animal is a bechar, if the kohen would want it, what would be the halacha? It would be hamoitzi mecha very all of a rat. V'taniya lo. Asurim begizu ba'avoida. And during that interim state, because at the end of the day there's a suffix, you have to treat it like maybe it has kedushas bechar, and because it might have kedushas bechar, so it's for that reason asurim begizu ba'avoida. Now, says the Gemara, what would be in that case? We had a suffix bechar, if the kohen would go and he would be tukful. He would go and he would chop it. Says the Gemara, of a tukful kohen, ein moitzi in oisam yotin. Now, is that true? Oh, that's a big shayla, tukful kohen, moitzi in, ein moitzi in. It's not even clear what the halach is. But the bottom line is, a tukful kohen, there's an idea of tukful kohen, ein moitzi in oisam yotin. Which means that if the kohen would go now and he would chop this bechar, so what would the halacha be? Meaning, as much as the owner of the bechar doesn't have to hand over the bechar because it's a suffix, at the same time, if the kohen would chop it, if you take that position, he wouldn't have to give it back either. Why? Says the Gemara, because that's the rule. So if I'm holding on to the suffix bechar, I don't have to give it to you. If you're holding on to the suffix bechar, so then you don't have to give it to me. That's the aside of takfu kohen. Let me ask you a question. In that case of Safik Bechar, when we say that the owner of the Bechar, the owner of this animal, he does not have to give it over to the Kohen, is that based on a Cheskes Kolma? Is there an Anan Sahadi? The Maida Tafis Haidi Day or Maida Tafis Haidi Day? Of course there's no Anan Sahadi. How could there be an Umdana? The reason he's holding on, he's happy to give it away. He has no idea what to do with it. He went to the Rav. The Rav said it's a Safik. I'm a Safik. Let me ask you better. When the Kohen chaps it, are you going to tell me that, oh, he has a raya that it's his? No, he has a raya that he's stronger than the other guy. That's the only thing he has a raya of. But there's no raya that it's his, and still, what's the halacha? In other words, what do you see from the sugya of Takfu Kohen? That the concept of muchzik and the concept of cheskes mamon has nothing to do with anan sahadi, the maida tov is haidi day, or maida tov is haidi day. It has nothing to do with cheskes koma. There's a din, amoitzi mechaveri olav raya. That if there's a sugya mamon, then I, who is the one that's holding on to the money, gets to keep it. And if you're the one that's holding on to the money, you're going to be the one that gets to keep it. If that's the case, then why is it that Hagoydus ain't lem chazaka? Hagoydus ain't lem chazaka based on chazaka is cheskes koma. It's anan sahadi. It's predicated on a chazaka that really is behind this chazaka. And it doesn't pass by Goydus the way we explain. Yeah, that's true if you want the keep it mitzad rayas and umdenes that it's yours. But you see, this is an Indian of cheskes mamon, and you find that hamoitzi mechaveri olav haraya, even when that's not what's going on. Even when the fact that I'm muchzik is neither here nor there in terms of us understanding whether this is something that really belongs to me. V'asudah din muchzik, and there's halacha hamoitzi mechaveri olav haraya. And exhibit A, B, C, and D is takfu kayin. Tafu kain, I might see noise in the other. You're gonna tell me that's a raya, that it's mine? And afal pikein, that's the halacha. So why can't it be? I'm going to say lam chazaka. Let it have the din of tafu kain, I might see noise in the other. Which, by the way, what do you chop in tafu kain? You chopped an animal, right? But why is it then that you don't have the halacha of cheskes mamon that jumps off the page of the sugya of tafu kain? And really, b'milam acherim, the kash is a very, very fundamental question. Because what then is cheskes mamon? What is muchzik? When you learn Bava Metzia Daf Beis, you think it's anan sahadi, the maida tov is haidi day. Cheskes koma, there's a chazaka that if I'm holding it, it must be mine. But then you learn Davov, and then you're introduced to a concept of a cheskes mamon where that svara plays zero role. And the end of the day, halach is the zelba halacha. Rabbi Chanan is asking a kashin, goy to say lam chazaka, because it doesn't conform with the svaras that the Rishonim speak out above and see that base. What about it should be a chazaka? Machmas takfu koy ne moitzi in oitzim yodoy, machmas the sugi of sofik bechor. I hear. That's the shmak a kashin, a goy to say lam chazaka. But if you want to understand this on a more foundational level, which is what we're doing right now, is what is chazaka? I'm confused right now. Is chazaka cheskes koma, it's like a raya that it's yours? Or is chazaka just the fact that if mamon is a ma'ar rishos and there's a suffix right now, whether it's mine or yours, the halach is that I'm going to keep it? Sok Rabbi Chana. It's mavur from here. Avu be'emes says Rabbi Chana, adover poshut, that you have to say there's two types of muchzik. And these words get thrown around throughout Shas, and they don't always mean the same thing. Sometimes muchzik is cheskes koma, it's a raya that it's mine, and sometimes muchzik means that if you're the one that's holding on to the money and there's a suffix, you're going to be the one that keeps the money. And really, says Rabbi Chana, that the yesod of why there's two muchziks is because there's two different types of Sofik Mamins. And if you understand the nuance of Sofik Mamin, you'll appreciate why we need two types of Cheskes Mamin, and you're going to understand with your own Chachma when to apply this type of Sofik Mamin and when to apply that type of Sofik Mamin. There's some Sofik Mamins where the reason we have a Sofik right now is because there's a he said, he said. Because there's two people that walked into court, they're each screaming at each other. Bezin has no idea what's flying. They're going to do a due diligence. They're going to do a proper discovery and investigation. They're going to try to get to the bottom of exactly what's happening. But Bezin Kretschmer, they have no idea what's going on. He's shrying. And there's a Sofik. That's one type of Sofik. That's the Sofik of Shnai Moichs and Batalis, literally. Two people walking the Bezin, that Mamish holding onto the fringes of the Talis, if you remember, and the Mamish screaming on top of the lungs. So, Bezin has a Sofik. The Sofik is Machmas Tainoy Seyem, in the vernacular, and as a result, they have to figure out, now, let's give Zechanetz, let's try to figure out what to do with this. But then there's another type of Sofik. There's a Sofik that's known as a Sofik Belitanoy Seyem, where there's a Sofik Be'etzen, where an animal was Bichra, she gave birth to a child, and we Pasha don't know, is this a real child, is it not a real child? There's just no way to know, it's not a Sofik because people are screaming, everyone's in agreement, that we don't know. And because everyone's in agreement that we don't know, so that in and of itself lends itself to a Sofik, where there's a Sofik Be'etzen, and to be honest, there's probably no way even to be Machriya such a Sofik. Says Rabbi Chanan, when you have a real Sofik, a Sofik Belitan, I say, we have no idea what's flying. There's just no way of knowing. So then there's a concept of Muchzik, there's a concept of Cheskes Mamin that says, listen, we have no idea what happened over here. So no, you're holding on to the money, you keep it. Oh, talk for Kayin? Now you're holding on to the money. You can keep it. When the Sofik is a Sofik Belitan, I say, so then you have a Gerech to say, and Azam Matzef and Sofik, I don't know what to do other than just leave it where it is. Rabbi Chanan adds one beautiful knetch when he talks about this. He says, think of a Cheskes Heter, right? A Cheskes Aguf, all the different Chazakas that you find, above super stuff, pass, etc., etc. Right? You have Sveikas, and you work with Chazakas. When could you use a Chazaka to be Machriya Sofik? When it's a real Sofik. Well, we Taka have no idea. So in a situation like this, over there, there's a concept of Chazaka. Just like Cheskes Heter only works when there's a real Sofik, not just a chesaron yediyah greater. Hachinami says Rabbi Chana, dina de muchzik b'mamon ein yala b'sofik lebezdin belitan oiseya. But to the extent that is already a sofik only machmas tan oiseya, there Rabbi Chana says that's not a real enough sofik. That's not a sofik in the pure intrinsic inherent sense. And it's for that reason over there, there's no mokum to stam say, oh, cheskes hat there, cheskes mamin, just leave it over there. There it's not going to work. What then would you have in a situation where there's a chazoka b'tano yisayim? When there's a chazoka b'tano yisayim, there's another inyan. There, there's a cheskes mamin that could maybe be mevar. Now, maybe yeah, maybe not. It doesn't always work. But to the extent that it could be mevar, it's a whole other story. If you could be mevar, then good. That's what Bezin gets paid to do. Go be mevar, all these different sveikis. And that type of vira avad is going to work. And that's what's known as a nansahadi, the maida tabasahadi day. And that's what's known as cheskes koma. The point is this. The point is there's a cheskes mamin that's mevar the sofik. And then there's a cheskes mamin that has no ability, has no capacity to be mevar the sofik. A cheskes mamin that's Mavara the Sofik, that Chazoka is used when you have a Sofik Betanoiseyem. The Chazoka of Muchzik, let's just leave it where it is, that Chazoka is something you use when it's a Chazoka Belitanoiseyem. And Rabbi Chanan speaks out clear. It doesn't cross over. You can't use a Cheskes Mamin when it's a Sofik Betanoiseyem, and you can't use a Cheskes Kolma when it's a Sofik Belitanoisei. The reason you can't use a regular Muchzik, just leave it there, when it's a Sofik Betanoiseim, is because of the fact that where it's a Sofik Betanoiseim, it's not a real Gehera Gesofik, and because it's not a real Gehera Gesofik, so it's for that reason you can't use Muchzik. Muchzik is like a Zaches Gesetter, we have no choice, you're going to use the Muchzik. But in a situation like that, you can't use the Chazok, it's not going to work. But it works the other way as well. You can use a Cheskes Koma in a situation where it's a Sofik Belitanoiseim. And the reason you can't use a Cheskes Koma when it's a Sofik Belitan Yisayim, because there is no Cheskes Koma. What's the Cheskes Koma? Sofik Bechar. There's a raya from the fact that I'm holding it that it's yours. When the Shaila is, who's telling the truth? Am I the ganiv? Are you the ganiv? Oh, the fact that I'm holding it is the raya that I'm not the ganiv. That's what cheskes koma is. But if the shaila is, this baby that this animal had a year ago, was it a nef or was it not a nef? The fact that I'm holding it is a raya, and the fact that now you're holding it is a raya. It's loy mayav loy merit. So you couldn't use muchsik for a sofik bitanoi seim, because a sofik is nit genuga sofik, and you can't use, and you can't use Rabbi Chanan says cheskes koma when the sofik is a sofik bitanoi seim. So says Rabbi Chanan, it's true there's a concept of muchzik, and it's true there's a concept of cheskes mam and kimavur, but metziyat davav amabeis, and that could be would work even for goydras, but that's only when the suffix is belitan hasein. When Chazal said ha goydras ein lem chazaka, what Chazal was saying was is that when the suffix is a suffix bitan hasein. So now the only type of cheskes mam that I'm able to use is a cheskes koma. For a cheskes koma over there, you have the halacha already of a goydras ein lem chazaka. But al kaponim is before in Rabbi Chanan and this meridig yisoid, and that is that even though we throw around the word muchzik and cheskes mamin, doesn't always mean the same thing. A mold is a muchzik, with the yisoid of the muchzik is the fact that I'm holding on to it is a raya that it's mine. And a mold is a muchzik, there's an idea that if I'm holding on to it, it's not a raya that it's mine, but being that I have a suffix, we're going to keep it. What does it depend on? What type of suffix? If it's a zat sort suffix where no one knows what's flying, that. Then and only then is when you say muchzik. If the suffix is betan hasein, then you can't say that because not enough of a suffix. But then and only then will you be able to invoke this idea of cheskes koma. So Tosfos asks on the top of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph here, Maseches Bava Metzia, Feitos Akasha. I don't understand. Hamach with part of the chamor v'yolda. Say Feit the Gemara. I don't understand. Yachloiku v'lechse b'shusa d'man kaima v'lehevi idach hamoitze mechaber yol of a raya. Feit Tosfos hamoitze mechaber yol of a raya. What happened to Agoid v'seilam chazaka? The Teretz says, what's the suffix? In Amach Lepar V'chamar. Is this a Sofik Bitan Eseim or Belitan Eseim? This is a Sofik Belitan Eseim. When did Tzumcha say his halacha? Heichad ikud jirarid amamayin above Metziyah daf beis amad beis. And Tosfos Kiyadua says, what is jirarid amamayin? It's a Sofik Belitan Eseim. This is like a gzib is the most famous example of a Sofik Belitan Eseim. So that cheskes moment over there is what type of cheskes moment? Not a cheskes. No one's talking about cheskes koma. No one has a have a minute that you should bring a raya from the fact that you're holding on to it. This must be a sign that it says. No one ever said that. No one ever cholam dying such a have a minute that that's what's going on over here. What the Gemara's kasha was, that we have no idea what's flying. So you know what you should do? Talk for koyin. That's what you should do. You should say, Sofik Bukhar, the halacha is, I don't have to give it to you. I'm Moitzim Mechavei, all of a raya. And talk for koyin, I'm Moitzim. That was the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara says, a good kasha. But you know what the answer is? The answer is, it's kind of a percent. It's kind of bagam. No one's holding on to it. And because no one's holding on to it, so it's for that reason the halacha is going to be Yachloik Bishvu. But the kasha was, I'm going to say, I'm Chazog, it's the Teret. But Al Kapana, what we're coming out with is two types of moments. There's two types of suffix, but also it's a certain clarkite in understanding the whole sumchas. Well, what is sumchas? A sheet. The sumchas has this big sheet and shas. Moment on multiple suffix cholke b'leshvu. And emadam a sumchas heichad ikidror the mamayna. What's the tief guide? This Rabbi Chanan brings it out so fast. The tief guide, the oimik over here is that sumchas said is halacha when there's a real suffix. When the suffix is belitan oisem, where bezdin is at a loss. That's the type of. That's where sumchas says his halacha of chelkin. And the other chacham say no. Zek kal gadol b'din. I'm moitzim mechaber. Does that mean that sumchas necessarily has to disagree with bava metziyah that base lav dafka? Now the Gemara talks about it. But the point is that. Based on this ray, just to lahamchesh as advarim, it's not muchach that it has to be that way, because the reason is because you're dealing with two different types of chazakas. But that's the point. There's two types of cheskes moments. And the emes is like this. The truth is, this idea that there's two types of cheskes moments, really, the confusion starts a few steps earlier. And that is the word chazaka is thrown around so many times. And really, so many different times that you hear the word chazaka used, it means something else. A beautiful maramachim, and the Letz Demachsa, we spoke this out many times, is the Chsam Soif and Chedushi Chsam Soif al Hashas. It's a Mesech Teschulun Daf Yudam Adeiz. It's Dibra Maschul Oiki Milsk HaChazaka. This is literally like Torah Misinai, Mamish, in terms of understanding, just foundational Chazakas. And what the Chassam Sofer says is that throughout Shas, you find different Sprachen for Chazaka. It says very often they mean different things. Like, for example, you have a Shor that's a Cheskes Nagchon, right? So what does that mean? That means a Shtois three times, so it creates a certain minig that this is what it's going to do. You have a cheskas umdana. Chazaka ino the meyes pon of b'fnei b'alchoivoi. Chazaka ino b'rei t'ichzmanai. Right, you have all those different umdas. What are those? That's like the word that Chazal uses, chazaka, but it's like a raya. It's almost like a Ruba de Lesser Kaman. We have a red bite on that. What's the difference between a Cheskas Umdina and a Ruba de Lesser Kaman? They sound very similar. It's like a statistical thing. Most people are not Meir's partner with Nei Bal Chayva. Isn't that Roiv? Not Issa Kaman. You have a whole bunch of pieces of meat in front of you. Okay, but isn't that what's known as Ruba de Lesser Kaman? And then you have a Chazaka where you just say, you know, I have no idea what's flying. Just leave it by the Chazaka. Oiki Milsa Achazaka. If this bias was Tomei, that's the Makar to Chazaka. 5 minutes ago, it's probably still Tomei. If the Isha was Ksheira Likahuna, she's probably still a Ksheira Likahuna. Etc., etc. It's not all the same thing, says the Chassam Sofer. It's Pasha, but this is a very clear Marmokim to bring this out. And that is that the word Chazaka in different sugis means different things. But the bottom line is, that as it relates to Cheskes Mamon, sometimes it's like this, and sometimes it's like that. When the suffix is a suffix of Gerard de Mamoina, when it's a suffix Belitan Eseyim, when there's a suffix Be'etzem, in a case like that, what is Cheskes Mamon? It's Oikim Milsa Achazok, you just leave it where it is. When it's a suffix Bitan Eseyim, then already it's different, then already it's going to be a Cheskes Koma. My son Shlomo Zalman was telling me that in Beis Medrash Gavoya, the Olam is mefakvik very much on this Yisoid of Rebbe Chanan. There's some diktukim, and one of the kashas is Tosis Havamina. What was Tosis Havamina to ask this kasha on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph? Lamaisa Tosis was learning the sugya of Safik Belita Nesem. He was learning the sugya of Amach Lepar V'Chamar, and Tosis came with a blitz. He said, "V'im Toimar, what happened to Agoydu Seilam Chazaka? The Teretz is so pashit. It doesn't pass Agoydu Seilam Chazaka by Amach Lepar V'Chamar, because where is there mokim to say anything about Cheskes Koma? The fact that it's a Myrish Sus, it's a Psaraya, it's mine, we know exactly what happened. There's no shy, we just don't know. If the baby was born at 3 o'clock, we know the closing was 2:30, right? So was the baby born at 3 o'clock? Who is the baby born at 2 o'clock? Alzeh Udonin. Where's the Mokin? Now, if that's Tosfos Teretz, okay, that's Tosfos Teretz. Still a little schwer. Abulamais, at least it's Tosfos Teretz. But it's not even clear exactly what Tosfos Teretz is. Another kasha, he told me, is Tosfos on the Bezam and Aleph itself. Tosfos, after he says his big varch, as opposed to he arba, there it's called Olam Gam. What's the difference? So Tosfos Oichsen Shani. An answer had the Maida Tavis. Freitas is a follow-up question. The Gemara talked about the Mana Shlishi, right? Remember the Mana Shlishi? Where there were two people that gave money to a Shomer. One person gave two manas, the other person gave one. And the Shaila was, what do you do with the Mana Shlishi? Machlekes, Rabbi Yosi, the Chacham, and Magantza Maisa. And the Gemara stelled too. The Gemara's kasha was, why by the Mana Shlishi is it Azoi? Why is it different than the Mishnah? And the Mishnah it's Yachloik B'lei Shvua. And by the Mana Shlishi it's Yemun Chachiyavi Aliyah. And Tosfos is bothered. Tosfos says that that the only reason Steinberg Simitalis says Yachloiku is based on the fact Anan Sahadi. So by the Mana Shlishi, nobody's holding on to it. The Shomer's holding on to it. So if the Shomer's holding on to it, what was the Gemara's even Havamina to Shtel Tzu the Mana? Just like the Gemara never mentioned Ahi Arba. That's the grace of Tosfos in the beginning of Bava Metzia. Why did the Gemara Machzach Nish Vissendik for Ahi Arba? Because it's Pashit, Oichs and Shiny. So if that's the case, Freik Tosis, Mana Shlishi, there's no Oichis. So Tosis famously says that although it's true, the Oilim themselves are not holding on it. However, being that the Nifkar is Toifis, Becheske Shneem, he's holding on for the two of them. It's Ki'ilu Heim Atzma Muchsakim Loi. It's as if they're both Muchsik. So the Kasha is, the Bishloima, if Muchsik means, if I'm holding it, so it's mine. Okay, so the Maisi is holding it for both of them. So you can hear that it's a case of Shnai Moichsim. But if the Yisoid of Shnai Moichsim is Anan Sahadi, the Maida Tofis Haidi Day, based on a Cheskes Koma, that it's a real umdun, it's a real raya that it belongs to me. How is it possible that if two people gave money to one shomer, one guy gave him $200, one guy gave him $100, he's holding on to the $300 right now, he's holding it on for the two people, but and one of the hundreds is other for Reuven, other for Shimon, that we could deher bebrirus or bevados, that half of the mana shlishi belongs to him and half of the mana shlishi belongs to him. In Hilchas Muchzik, good, you can tell me a Torah. But if Rabbi Chanan is saying is it has to be a real Cheskes Koma, right? It has to be a real Cheskes Koma, where do you have the real Cheskes? Because of this and other Ha'aris, that in Beis Medrash Gavaya, the Nusach is said over in a little bit of more of a super lumdish way. We have to be Makariv, the two Tzadim, a little bit together. Alzeh Nemar, we'll leave that for the super London, but Rabbi Chanan's Yisoid Al Kaponim here in Chelik Beis Simen Tes is, there's two types of Chazakis, which really come from two different types of Sveikis, and really it's Meir, the Einayim of so many of these Grace Sugyas that we learned together here in Masechtas Bava Metzia.